You can also visit us online at www.springhillschurch.org or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at springhills.church. Thanks again for joining us this weekend.
Hey, good morning. Why don't you turn to someone sitting near you and just smile at them and say, I'm so glad you're here. Go ahead, find them, smile at them, let them know you're so glad that they're here. Hey, just want to let you know there, when you walked in the door, okay, I didn't say tell them your life story, people. I said tell them you're glad they're here. All right. When you walked in, you might have noticed we have some sermon notes for the weekend. Pretty much all the sermons we have sermon notes for, but just want to challenge you. The more senses that you engage, the more that you'll retain information. So if you want to grab one of those note sheets, you can go now. No shame. Go get one right now or just fill in the blanks if you already got one. But we began a sermon series back in the beginning of the year called Choose. Why don't you go ahead and say the word choose? Go ahead and say it. Choose. And here's the idea. We are confronted every day with choices that affect our lives in huge ways. And the sermon series is really about you saying there are some places, destinations that I have to go. And if I'm going to go there, I've got to choose in 1,000 little ways to get to that destination. So we're talking about 5 topics. We talked last week about choosing a Christ-like attitude and all the choices that go into choosing consistently a Christ-like attitude. We're going to talk in future weeks about choosing healthy relationships. Who'd love to be in some healthy relationships? Raise your hand. Wouldn't you love to be in some healthy relationships? Absolutely. We're going to choose to be financially responsible. Who thinks that's important to be financially responsible? Absolutely, with your life. We're going to be choosing also to, today, talking about choosing a topic that may sound kind of strange to you, may be a little foreign to talk about in church, but today we're talking about choosing to be physically healthy. Let me just set up this sermon series for you a little bit. We're talking about the principle of choosing, and here's the idea. God gives us the freedom to choose, and the daily choices we make impact our lives in ways we can't even imagine. I told you last week, social scientists say the average American makes 35,000 choices every day. The average teenage girl makes 50,000. No, I'm just kidding about that, right? But there's so many choices that affect our lives. So here's my whole premise. Here's my premise. To access the power of choosing, we have to live by design. If I'm going to get to that destination, I've got to design the choices that I'm making to eventually get there. I cannot live by default. Default, of course, means doing what I feel like in the moment versus designing and choosing to get to a destination. I got a little illustration of this one day, not too long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I woke up and I was coming to work and I looked in the mirror and I thought, gosh, I think I may have put on a few pounds. Today I'm going to make some healthy choices and I'm going to choose to eat something delicious. I actually had something in mind. This is what it looks like. I'm not going to say which restaurant sells this salad. Their initials are Wendy's. But anyway, I decided, to go make this healthy choice, and there's one really close by. So I was working, came to lunchtime, and I thought about my healthy choice, and I drove down, and I went through the line, and I chose my meal, and then all of a sudden, I was about to take my first bite, and I looked down, and I made a different choice. I hadn't chosen that salad that I was anticipating. I made a totally different choice, and in my defense, they had really delicious signs, pictures of this choice, but you know what I didn't do? I didn't live by design. I thought about design. I thought about healthy, good choices, but default, I just chose something immediately that I felt like doing, and we can't live that way. If you live that way, you're never going to get to the destination that God has in mind for you. So like I was saying, today we're talking about physical health, and I know what you're thinking. Oh, Pastor Tom, this is church. We should be talking about spiritual health, not physical health. But I want you to understand something that I think is really important. So look at me. Here I am. I'm there. I'm right here. So you can look anywhere you want. But just look at me for a second, okay? You as a person, listen. You as a person are really, there are really 3 parts of you. You have a body and a soul and a spirit. Now just listen to what I'm saying. Now here's the reality is that truly you don't just have a soul, you are a soul. Your soul is you. Your soul is your thoughts, your memories, your mind, your will, your emotions. Your soul is who you are. And when your body dies, your soul will live on forever. Your soul will live on forever if you know Jesus Christ and you've invited him in. Your soul will live forever in heaven. Say amen. But if you don't know Christ and you've not been forgiven, your soul will live forever in hell. And that is just the reality. I can't believe he said hell in church. I just said hell in church. Okay, pay attention to what I'm saying. You are a soul, and that is immortal. But your soul connects with the physical world through what God gave you, and that's a body. Your body is your way to touch and affect the physical world, and your spirit that was made alive when you accepted Christ is how you access the spiritual world. Your soul accesses this physical world through your body and accesses the spiritual world through your spirit. Understand what I'm saying? But there's a great connection between body, soul, and spirit. When your body is feeling bad, it's not healthy, it's going to affect your soul, affect your spirit in some very specific ways. So let me just talk for a minute about physical health. And I want to divide this category into two parts. And they're both very important. So here, fill in these blanks. Two major topics within this category. Number one, we're going to touch briefly, not talk a lot about, but touch briefly on what I'm going to call physical fitness. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about what I'm going to call general well-being. That's physical well-being that affects my spiritual life in a very, very big way. I'd love to break this down for you so you understand my body is connected to my soul and it affects my spiritual life in really a big way. What is physical fitness? Here's a definition of physical fitness. It's a state of well-being, just pay attention, that is achieved through the combination of good diet and regular physical exercise and other practices like getting a really good night's sleep that promote good health. Now, the Apostle Paul even talks about physical exercise when he says this. Physical training is of some value. It's valuable for Christians to be engaged in physical training and to have physical fitness. He does say, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Physical fitness. Now, I'm just going to approach this topic to say there are probably three ingredients of physical fitness that are really important that you want to understand to have your body operating at a high level. This is a book that I think talks well about these three things, written by Tom Rath, not a Christian book. It just talks about physical health, and it breaks it down to three simple things. It's what you eat, how much you move, and the quality of your sleep will definitely affect your physical fitness. Here's a quote from this book. Eating the right foods, who thinks there are healthy foods to eat? Just raise your hand, right? Eating the right foods provides energy for your workout and improves the quality of your sleep. In turn, a sound night of sleep makes you more likely to eat right the next day. This is why the real magic lies in the intersection between eating, moving, exercising, and sleeping. If you can do all three well, it'll improve your daily energy and your odds of living a long and healthy life. Now look at the subtitle of this book, Eat, Move, Sleep, How Small Choices, hey, this is my sermon series, How Small Choices Lead to Big Changes. If you're moving more, eating more healthy, and sleeping better, your whole life is going to be going better in that way. Let's talk about one of these things just for a moment or two, and I'm going to make a connection for you, I hope. The book says this. The optimum level, listen for a second, the optimum number of time for the average American to sleep, okay, it's a touchy topic here, sleep, is 8 hours and 36 minutes. If you sleep at night or in the daytime or whenever you sleep, not during church though, okay, pay attention, 8 hours and 36 minutes, you're going to be at an optimum level of sleep. But the average American doesn't sleep 8 hours and 36 minutes. The average American sleeps 6 hours and 32 minutes. Have you ever thought about the effect on your life of getting 2 hours less than you need of sleep day after day? Now, here's something I'd love to see you do. I would love to see you on your own wake up early enough in the morning that you would take some time to seek God. Part of my personal you know, regiment, regime, whatever you want to call it, is I wake up at whatever time I have to be in prayer and Bible study by 6 a.m., and I have one full hour, 6 to 7, I'm in the Word, I'm worshiping, I'm praying, I'm journaling. 7 o'clock, I'm going to go jump in the shower, and that's every day. That 1 hour is set aside. But you know what is going to affect that? That time, by the way, my whole day is affected by having a full hour of prayer and Bible study and feeling great. But you know what is going to affect that in a big way? It's about, you know, to do that, make that work, I've got to probably go to bed about 10 p.m. Going to bed at 10 p.m. makes me feel really, really old. I don't know if that, you know, occurs to you. By the way, I heard this week. I'm 45 years old. And someone said, being 45 is the sweet spot between youthful strength and the wisdom of experience. Isn't that nice? Oh, yeah. I'm going to say it about 46 when I get there, too. Don't even worry about that. But you know, my sleep affects my prayer. How many of you guys believe what I'm saying? Raise your hand, right? My quality of sleep, making the choice that says I'm going to go to bed at the right time. I'm going to make right choices so I can get up and let my soul be fed by my body being rested. You see what I'm saying? There's a deep connection that you want to understand between your body, your soul, and your spirit. And your body, you want it to be working in the right way. So how do you make some choices? How do you choose physical health? What are the small choices involved in getting to a place of physical health? I'm going to give you four of these. And here's the first one to think about. Fill in these blanks if you would. Here's what you do. It's simple. It's easy to talk about and super hard to do. Okay, here we go. Evaluate your physical fitness with God's and with God's strength. Make healthy choices. Now, here's a mistake. Just look at me. Here's a mistake people make all the time. I'm talking about people that know Christ and who are Christians, is they do this. They make a goal for their physical health. Who here, raise your hand, ever made a goal for your physical health? Ever made a physical health goal, right? They make a goal for their physical health. They're indwelled with the power of God, but they never engage the power of God to achieve that goal that they want to for their physical health. They're thinking salad, but they're eating cheeseburgers, but they're not praying and saying, God, help me make the right choice. Let your strength help me, Holy Spirit, to make the right healthy choice. The Bible says this about God's strength. It's a prayer the Apostle Paul prays in Ephesians 3:16. I love this section of Ephesians. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Don't just think of that power as something mystical and spiritual. That power is self-discipline. That's a fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. Say amen, right? Say amen. It's a big thing to understand. I want to use the power of God to affect my life. Now, week one of this sermon series, I told you the five topics I'd be talking about to get to a healthy, good destination with the choices that you're making. And a very good friend of mine came to me. She approached me and she said, Tom, I just want to give you some thoughts. When you talk about physical health, I want to give you some thoughts. And she gave me some thoughts. And I thought, these thoughts are so good, I want you to shoot a video testimony giving the church these same thoughts. And she agreed. And so here's my good friend, Justina Nadalson, giving some thoughts about physical health and a journey she's been on for the last 12 months, seeking God's strength for physical health. The lights are going to go down slowly. The host team is going to bring popcorn and Twizzlers. No, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. I do love Twizzlers in a movie theater, though. Anyway, lights are coming down. Here's my friend Justina giving a testimony about her health and about God's strength. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Justina Dolson. My husband Ethan and I have been coming to church at Spring Hill since about 2011, and we have four children, some of whom have graduated from Greville Christian Academy and a current student there as well. The reason that I'm shooting this video today is because I heard that Tom was going to be speaking about physical health, and I wanted to share some things about a journey that I've been on for about a year now. December in 2016, I went to the doctor, and I had some blood work come back, and it did not come back well. And that caused me, obviously, a great deal of concern about my future health, and it really made me start digging into some of my lifestyle choices that I had been making pretty much my whole life. So I've always struggled with my weight on and off since I was a teenager. So it's been a journey over a lot of years of gaining and losing the same 30 pounds over and over again and trying to figure out how to make it a permanent change. I basically realized that I needed to dig into why I was making these choices and how I had gotten to this point in my life. And over that journey, over the last year, there's some things that really became apparent to me that I wanted to share with you, because maybe what I've been through and what I've realized can help somebody at Spring Hills and some of my friends. So the first thing was I really had to dig into understanding what truth was, and I had to seek truth. There are messages that I believe to be true, but we know that God is the author of truth, but Satan is the father of lies. So when I had a false belief, that was not coming from God. That was something that I need to reconcile. And some of those, which may ring true to some of you as well, are things like that I had to have food at every celebration. That was an integral part of a celebration, when really that's not truth. You can eat healthy food and have a great celebration with your family and friends. It's really meaningful. And probably one of the biggest things was that, you know, change was going to be a hard thing because I had tried and failed over and over again over many years. So once I started realizing that I was needed to seek truth, one of the truths that I realized that I had to face was the second thing, which was, to me, food had become an idol. And what I mean by that is that the meaning and definition of an idol is when you put anything in front of God. And so I used to say things like food, I need food because I'm a stress eater. If I'm seeking food because I'm stressed out, but I'm not seeking anything else, then that's a problem. And now that's become an idol. So I sort of joke around that I need to be a stress prayer or a stress Bible reader instead of a stress eater. And then the third thing, I've always wanted to be a Hebrew scholar on one of Tom's videos. So I finally got my big chance. I can rest in peace now. I actually read some books about different things about food and stress and relationships and God. And one of those books shared a Hebrew word, which is called akarit. And in the beginning of my journey, I used to actually write it on my wrist if I'd have a day that might be particularly challenging that I wanted to remember. What akarit means is what comes after. So if I could really see down the road another 5, 10, 20 years, whatever, what would happen because of the choices I had made, what was the end result going to be, which would be me maybe not being in good enough health to serve the Lord, to serve my family, to see my grandchildren, all of those things that are part of a rich life that I wanted to experience. If I could see it, if I could really visualize it and understand what that could look like, then I wouldn't choose the choices that I made today. And that's what it really came down to, was every day making choices that were not going to have the end result, the akarit of something that was going to be devastating to my life and to my ministry work and to my family. So after a year of this journey, what's been the end result? In December, I had the blood work retaken and everything was perfectly normal and my health is great. I've lost 40-something pounds, but I don't even know the exact amount because it's not about weight. It's about my physical health and about changing my lifestyle every day and it being the lifestyle that I want. When people ask me, you know, what changed? What made it different this time? And the answer is, I changed my mind. Because one of my friends challenged me pretty strong at the beginning of the year that, why do we always have to say change is hard? Who made that up? That's not actually truth. If we want change to be easy and we tell ourselves change is easy, then it can be. But if we tell ourselves change is hard, then it's probably going to be hard. So what I changed this last year was my mind.
How about a hand for Justina, if you guys don't mind, coming out, making that video, making that choice. So I told you before, we're talking about physical health, and I broke it down to two categories. Physical fitness, and the second one is what I'm just simply going to call general well-being. Now, let's talk about what does well-being mean? Well-being means my body is feeling good, but also, you know, I'm just generally feeling good because I'm healthy, and that health has an effect on every part of my life. Here's the definition. This is from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, defines well-being in this way. Well-being integrates mental health, like being exhausted or stressed out or in perpetual worry. That mental health integrates mental health and physical health, resulting in a more effective approach to disease prevention and health promotion. People that have well-being, the CDC says, are when you have well-being, you're motivated, you're optimistic, you're healthy, feeling healthy with your life. It leads to these things: pursuing meaningful goals, desire to invest in others. And well-being means I want to grow as a person. If I don't have well-being, if I'm exhausted, what I want is to take a nap, not grow as a person or invest in other people. Well-being is something I really want you to understand. Let me take you back just for a moment to right before Christmas. And here was kind of where I was. It was Friday, December 22nd. And this is what I was looking forward to. On December 23rd was Christmas Eve, and I had a funeral that day at 11 for a very close friend of mine who had died suddenly, and that was going to be something probably difficult because I loved him him so very much to be officiating the funeral. And then that evening, we had two services at Swayze Chapel. And then Christmas Eve day, we had two morning services right here at Spring Hills. And we had a special Christmas Eve service that night. So I was looking at being an integral part in speaking at six services in the next 48 hours. So that Friday night, I actually went to a Christmas gathering of my wife's family, which have it every year. I love it. It's a great gathering. But I walk in, there's about 15 people there, and about seven of them are incredibly sick, but they still chose to come. They're coughing. They're talking about how bad they feel. I think I got the flu. And my skin just started to crawl. Like, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to lose my voice. I'm not going to be able to talk. I got six services in 48 hours. And I started praying, Lord God, protect me. And then I got this special anointing oil called hand sanitizer. And I literally was sitting at my Christmas gathering holding on to the hand sanitizer, you know, just like this. And when anybody walked by, I'd be like, hey, great to see you, Aunt so-and-so. Got a little more of this. You know, that was a little bit much. Sorry about that. If I shake your hand later, hands will be clean, just like Jesus. You know, be like that handshake that purifies. Anyway, came to church that next day, and people at church are like coughing and whatever. And I was talking to Eric Burney, one of our building crew, and I was like, Eric, I need like a holster on my belt with hand sanitizer. And Eric came through, and here it is right here. Here's my hand sanitizing belt, right? Now these things I'm saying are not, oh, there it is right there. I can hand sanitize anytime I need to. Oh, yeah, right? Now, here's why I'm saying these things. Because I know my health is going to greatly affect my ability to serve God. Do you see that? Say amen, right? Do you see what I'm saying? If you're healthy, if you have well-being, serving God is going to be so much easier than if you're constantly feeling sick. You've got the flu. You've got these things happening in your life. Well-being is important. Here's a question. Does God want you to have well-being? Does God want you in a place of feeling healthy so that you can serve him and do good things? Does God care about your well-being? Let's listen carefully. You shouldn't take my word. You should take the Bible's word for this, by the way. There's a story about David in the Bible, King David, back in the Old Testament. And David had all kinds of success. He killed Goliath. Who here thinks killing a giant is a really nice resume starter? I think that's pretty good, right? Well, I started out by killing a giant. That's a pretty good deal, right? So he killed a giant, and he was getting famous. They're singing songs about him. He actually was married to a princess. The king's daughter was his wife. He had a new best friend in Jonathan, the king's son. Everything David was doing was successful. Hand sanitized. Okay, I'm good, right? Everything he did was successful. And the king got jealous. And Saul, the king, decided to murder David so David would not take his throne. And the king plotted to kill David, threw a spear at him, and he had to run away. And David is running for his life. He has no friends. He has no place to go. He's running. He's tired. He's exhausted. And King David has a psalm. It's Psalm 35. And Psalm 35, if you ever want to read a whiny psalm in the Bible, that's it. Psalm 35. David's like, this is unfair. It's not right. Now, he's a good model for us because we should pray honest feelings to God. Open your heart to God. And David does it. And David gets down to the end of the psalm, and he can't help but just get a little bit of vengeance in the psalm. He can't help but, okay, there it is. Okay, there it is. And this is what David says in Psalm 35. He says this. May all who gloat over my distress be put to shame. Who's ever felt that way before? I know I have. If you're gloating over my distress, be put to shame. Verse 27. May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy. How about if I say shout for joy and you guys give a little shout for joy? Here we go. Shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, oh, lean in for this. The Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of his servants. Ooh, think about that. Is the Bible true? Is the Bible right? Does God actually delight in the well-being of his servants? Does God care that you have well-being with your life? The Bible seems to indicate so. Here's what John says. John, who walked with Jesus, writes a letter, 3 John 2:2, and he says this. Dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul, say the word soul. As your soul is getting along well, that's a definition of well-being, that your soul is getting along well. How do we achieve this? How do we say, I want to make choices so more often than not, I have physical health. I'm choosing to be healthy so I can serve God and live with this well-being that makes me a so much happier person. My daughter Ella is sitting right here. She's adorable. She's amazing. She's probably the perfect 13-year-old girl on this planet. She's amazing. But my daughter, unfortunately, can pray for her for this. She's recently been getting migraine headaches. And she's this most sweet, pleasant, amazing young lady. But when she gets a migraine headache, things change. Things change a little bit, right? Her physical health affects who she is, right? Here's what I want you to see. There's a connection. So how do I choose it? How would I say, God, help me to make choices so I'm physically healthy? Here's some more thoughts. Here's number two. Write these notes down. Write these notes down. This is really important. What I'm going to say to you, I want you to listen with both ears. Evaluate the pace of your life and embrace Sabbath rest. Evaluate the pace of your life. Here's what I mean. Sometimes we live so quickly at a pace of life that isn't really about rest. It isn't really about living with the rest that we need. It's a picture of a medical doctor. His name is Dr. Edward M. Hallowell. What a great name for a doctor, right? Hello, Dr. Hallowell. I hope you're well. Isn't that just a great name, I think? Dr. Hallowell saw so many of his patients that were sick. He thought they're sick because of the pace of their life that he wrote this book. It's called Crazy Busy. Overstretched, overbooked, and about to snap. Somebody said last night, that's like my autobiography is what they said about that title, right? Oh, it's a crazy busy. Here's a quote from the book. He says this. Many people, just diagnose yourself, not your husband, wife, or friends, but diagnose yourself. Many people are excessively busy because they allow themselves to respond to everything. Tracking too much data, processing too much information, answering to too many people, taking on too many tasks. All in the sense that this is the way they must live in order to keep up and stay in control. Here's what Dr. Hallowell says. The reality is they've lost control. You know, you can live at a pace of life that's so fast. I got meeting after meeting. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm talking about adults. I'm also talking about kids. I'm talking about, you know, easily high school age students. I've got three teenage girls right now in my house. And you know what? They love to have the pace of their life be so fast that I'm like, what about resting? What about? No, we're on the go. Evaluate the pace of your life because the pace of your life is going to directly affect the well-being, the physical health that you had. Now I said this thing, and I just want you to see what the Bible says about this. Ephesians 5. Therefore, be careful how you live. Be careful about the pace of your life. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Who believes the days are evil? Don't you believe that? Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, I'm going to say something, and you just might flat out disagree with what I'm about to say, and we can arm wrestle later theologically if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, God said something to us, and we might have forgotten about it. God said this. This is my point. Evaluate the pace of your life and embrace Sabbath rest. One of the Ten Commandments is this idea of what's called Sabbath. Now, let me just listen to what I'm saying. Open your heart and listen to what I'm saying. I'm not going to say anything legalistic. Just listen to what I'm saying. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work. Now, you're thinking this, Pastor Tom, that's the Old Testament, and Jesus said something about the Sabbath, and he just kind of said, like, the Sabbath doesn't matter. Is that what he said? Here's what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Now, here's what I want you to see. They had made this idea of a day off, a Sabbath rest. They had elevated the Sabbath in the law to such a point that you couldn't do anything. If you did anything, then legalism was heaping upon you. Here's how ridiculous it got. They said that in the first century, women could not look in the mirror on the Sabbath. Now, why is that? Because if a woman, they said in the first, it's not me. It's don't email, should go to Brad P. at Spring Hills Church. Okay, so it's not me, right? I love saying that. Pastor Brad, where are you? I don't know where he went. But anyway, This is what they said. You can't look in the mirror on the Sabbath because if you look in the mirror, you might see a gray hair. And if you see a gray hair, you're going to pluck it out. And if you pluck it out, that's like reaping. That's work. That's how ridiculous they'd gotten about the Sabbath. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, you know what? The Sabbath, it's not to be kept so strictly that the Sabbath rules your life. But you know what? There's still, the Sabbath is there to meet your needs. So here's what I want you to say. He didn't say, don't ever rest. He didn't say, hey, forget about the Sabbath. You don't need to rest. That's crazy. What Jesus said is you need to embrace the Sabbath to meet your needs. And I don't know that it needs to be a whole day. The Sabbath, by the way, was Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. Today is not the Sabbath. They'll be like, it's the Sabbath. We're going to church. No, no, no. This is Sunday. This is the Lord's Day. That's why it's Christians worship on Sunday, because Christ rose from the grave on Sunday. Say amen. That's a good thing. Here's the idea about the Sabbath. You need to rest. The Sabbath might look like for you just taking a little bit more time off, slowing down the pace of your life. The Sabbath for me looks like this. It's not Friday. It's Thursday. Thursday's a day I set aside. I'm generally at home by myself, which is amazing, right? But I don't spend the whole day napping or watching TV. I spend some concentrated time in prayer. Concentrated time. If I'm doing a project on my house, on my personal Sabbath day, I'm doing it in prayer with worship in the background. I'm staying with God, resting in Him all day long. Say amen. Maybe you need something. Maybe you need a Sabbath time, a Sabbath day, a Sabbath afternoon to embrace that rest, examining the pace of your life. Hey, how do you make choices to be physically healthy and have well-being? Here's number 3 of 4. When you experience stress, I know you never experience stress, I know that. When you experience stress, pause and pray for the peace of God. Now think about stress for a second. The AMA, the American Medical Association, says this about stress and frustration. It says this. Stress can lead to physical symptoms, including headaches. Who in this room has ever had what you think was a stress headache? Ever had one of those? I think I have. Headaches, upset stomach. Who here has ever had an upset stomach because you're stressed out about something, right? Headaches, upset stomach. These are health things affected by stress. Elevated blood pressure, chest pain, and problems sleeping. Research suggests that prolonged stress can also bring on heart problems, diabetes, skin conditions, asthma, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Stress is a big deal in our lives. You know, 3 years ago, I had an idea. And my idea was, there's obviously a Christian school here called Granville Christian Academy. And my idea was, what would it be like for high school students if they had someone in their life, I use the term mentor, that could kind of help them through problems that you're having. So we did a pilot program 3 years ago where I told the Granville Christian Academy junior class I would be the personal mentor of their entire class. And I'd be there for them if they wanted to talk about stuff or have some outside help on something. And what I did for that class, about 23 students, was I took every one of them to lunch. That was a real winner, by the way. They really enjoyed going to lunch. It was groups of 4 with me. My daughter Elizabeth was in that class, and she went on every lunch, and she was very happy about that. But we went to lunch, and I asked them some questions about their life and how they're doing. And I asked them the 5th question, the same 5 questions to all of them. The 5th question was, what could I do to help you? What would you need? What do you need from an outside adult that could help you in your life? Every group said this. Could you help us deal with stress? High school juniors. We are so incredibly stressed out about testing, about college, about relationships, about our life, about everything. We're so stressed, right? I don't think it's just high school juniors that are feeling that stress. Stress affects all of us. Well, what do you do? Here's the idea. When you experience stress, pause and pray for the peace of God. Some of you are thinking, isn't there a Bible verse? Yeah, it's right here. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything. That's crazy. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What if you just did that? Now, some of you might be thinking this, okay? I'm gonna get in your head for a second. Some of you are thinking, I did that, Pastor Tom. I felt stress, and then I prayed, and then there was no peace. Well, you know what? Learning how to pray when you're stressed and receiving the peace of God, this is something that takes some time. It takes some effort. You got to dig in. You got to get some spiritual know-how. But you know what? There's a place you can get to that when you get stressed, you stop and you're able to pray. And all of a sudden, God's peace is just overwhelming you. Who's had that experience? You were stressed, you prayed, and you met the peace of God. Anybody ever had that experience? It's right there. What if you did it every time? Every time I'm feeling stressed, I'm stopping, I'm praying. I'm inviting the peace of God into my life. When you experience stress, pause and pray for the peace of God. And then number four is really important. Here's number four. To absolutely maximize your well-being, invest your time in serving others. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Living to serve yourself has a degree of satisfaction, but living to serve others has a much higher degree of satisfaction in your life. Jesus even said this. The Son of Man did not come to be served. This is mind-blowing. God's Son didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, what if that verse was about you? What if you inserted your name? So I'm Tom. I'll say Tom. Pastor Tom, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And to give my life every single day in service to God and to others. Boy, I would have a kind of well-being you couldn't imagine. I'm going to go one step farther. Serving is great. By the way, I do want to mention, if you're looking for a place to serve, our nursery actually has some needs. I got a little, wasn't that well-timed, wasn't it? Ooh, that was pretty good, right? There's a little flyer about our nursery program. Need a few additional volunteers there. But if you want to serve, that's a great place to serve, especially if you like dirty diapers. I'm such a great salesman. Okay, back to this. Serving is fantastic. Here's the highest level of serving. The best way to serve is to share Christ. And sometimes sharing Christ is first about just serving someone and never mentioning Christ. It's just about serving. And then God brings the opportunity for you to share about his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he's done. I'm going to take you back to August just for a second. August 28th, there was a massive hurricane. There's the radar right there. Massive hurricane hit Texas, and you all remember this. The city of Houston was deeply affected by the hurricane and the flooding that came after. Here's some pictures of the flooding, how extreme the flooding was. People were overwhelmed by the rising floodwaters, and homes and houses and lives were deeply damaged by that hurricane. Our hearts, Spring Hills, if you remember that time back in August, our hearts were just affected with that love for the people of Houston and Texas and the entire area. And not only did you guys donate money and resources, we almost immediately sent down a team to work with Samaritan's Purse to serve. They drove down all night long. They served. They worked. One member of that team told me, this crazy thing. They didn't get great food. They didn't get great sleep. There wasn't a lot of those choices. But he told me that serving on that trip was the happiest time of my entire life. How amazing is that? After the team came back, I sat down with someone I just have great respect for, a young man named Matthew Knutson. And Matthew gave his testimony about that trip. I showed this back in early September, but I forgot what he said, so you probably forgot what he said too. So I'm going to show you that little testimony video, about a minute and a half of it, that Matthew shot. By the way, Matthew's right here. Give him a hand. He's right there. Give him a hand, everybody. There he is. And just listen to this, what he said about this trip and about serving and how it affects your life. Here he is.
Hello, my name is Matthew Knutson. I've been coming to Spring Hills for 4.5 years, and I had the opportunity to go with our church to Houston and work with Disaster Relief and Samaritan's Purse there, and it was one of the most impactful things that I've ever done, and it provided me with a lot of unique experiences and really changed the way that I think about missions. So we left Spring Hills early in the morning, and we began our 22-hour nonstop trek all the way down there. And we arrived at 3:30 in the morning, and we were all just knocked out. Just 4 hours after we arrived, we needed to be checking in with Samaritan's Purse so that we could go directly to our first site and begin helping people right off the bat. At our first site, we were working for a homeowner named Anselma. She speaks Spanish, so it's kind of difficult to communicate with her, but we were able to talk to her a little bit, and it turned out that Her relationship with her husband was a little bit strained, and she was a mother, and she really didn't have a way to help herself out of the situation that she was in with the flood. Her house had been flooded out 2 feet above the rafters, and we had to go in and remove everything from the home, and it was really tough to see that happen for people, in general in Houston, because people lost everything. Anything that the water touched was gone for them. As we were working in her house, she was working right alongside of us the entire time, and that was fantastic to be able to work with her. And eventually, the chaplain team that comes through and follows each disaster relief team came, and they had the chance to share about Jesus Christ with Anselma, and she accepted Jesus Christ. And that was a phenomenal feeling to be able to circle up with the entire team, all of our people, stop working for a moment, and pray with her, and see the change on her face, and how she had began to understand who Jesus really is. And that was amazing. That was one of the most fantastic experiences that I had on the trip, for sure. So I learned that sharing the gospel isn't really as much telling someone about the gospel, but it's showing them what the gospel looks like, and what Jesus looks like, and what his love looks like. And I was able to really understand that a lot more, and really begin to understand that I was a part of something much greater than just mudding out one person's house. It's working with a group of like-minded people, all trying to just be a distinctive, very specific light for Jesus in that area.
I want you to bow your heads, if you would, and let's just pray. Right before I pray, I just want you to think about just evaluating where you are with this message that you just heard. We talked about making choices that get you to a destination. And the destination today we're talking about is being physically healthy. Just choosing physically healthy choices with your life. We talked about evaluating your physical fitness and using God's strength to make some changes. We talked about evaluating the pace of your life and embracing Sabbath rest. We talked about that when you feel stressed, pause and pray for the peace of God. And last of all, I said to maximize your well-being, serve others. Before I pray for you, heads bowed, eyes closed, just evaluate your life for a moment. Are you making choices that are allowing you to be physically healthy, which is going to allow you to be growing spiritually? There's a direct connection, body, soul, and spirit. Are you making good choices to grow, to be healthy? Now, you know as well as I do, we don't choose everything. Things happen to our health that aren't connected to our choices. But in general, we can choose healthy things every day. Father, I thank you for all those who came today. I pray, God, being part of this experience this morning, the worship and the message has drawn them, Father, closer to you, infusing in them, God, a desire to make choices that allow them to understand life. And allow you to use them. Father, I pray that their prayer today is, God, I'm choosing physical health that you could use my life to impact this world. Father, we thank you and praise you, and we give you all the glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, stand one last time, if you would. Before we sing this song, I just want to say something. I'm going to walk around the building. I'm going to be standing in the back at what we call our Next Steps area. And if you're here and your spiritual life has stalled out and you want to know, how do I grow? What's my next step? Come back and see me at the Next Step area. Second of all, maybe you're new today. Maybe it's your first time or second time, third time here. And you kind of got over that your initial fear of me and you want to meet me. So I'd love to meet you in that same way. So here's the thing. If you know me well and want to talk to me, wait for 15 minutes before approaching me to allow the new folks to come and have a little connection. But after 15 minutes, it's a free-for-all. Come on back and talk to me. So that's what we're doing today. Hey, sing this song with Pastor Brad.
So good having you worship with us, and I just want to say thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us online if you're watching. My name is Tevis, and one of the things I love to do here at Spring Hills, I just love helping people get connected and just taking steps to grow spiritually. I know if you're here today and you'd like somebody to pray with you, there's a prayer room in the back, but Tama also mentioned our Next Steps area, and that's designed to help you get better connected here at Spring Hills, to help you get involved, and we just want to help you with that, and so we can help you even take steps spiritually. And so Tom's going to be back there along with some host team members. Stop by there right after the service. If you're brand new, they have a gift for you there, a welcome bag along with a gift that they'd love to just hand that to you. I want to mention a few things though today, just that are opportunities for you to get connected and involved here at Spring Hills to help you grow spiritually. One of those, next weekend, it's our group life event. And after every single service, you have the option to show up to that. And that's a great way to meet some of our small group leaders, to meet some other people, to find out about all of our groups or even how to start a group. And again, that's available for you right after the service. Whichever service you attend next weekend. So please consider that. We also have our Spring Hills Connection class that takes place the